I was usually somebody who taught generally that drive should be hit at like 70% pace. You know, super powerful drive can only take you so far. I think there's definitely advantages to hitting really hard drives, especially at the lower levels where players are not super comfortable with. I mean, for example, like if you crush a drive at a 3.5 or a 4.0, then it could be pretty beneficial, but you also don't want to be working on shots that aren't necessarily going to work at the 5.0 level. And I think that almost any 5.0 can handle a pretty hard drive. I mean, a drive is coming from the baseline and they're already established at the kitchen line. They have more than enough time to react to that drive. So that's why I generally teach at the higher levels. You want your drives to be dipping and you want them to be 70% pace. And if you watch the best pros, that is most of the time what they're doing. This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah. All right, so we are back with another episode of my show. This is actually right after we lost in the finals of Major League Pickleball. Hate to see it. There's a lot of money on the line. I mean, we still, you know, came away with a good amount of money for ourselves, but obviously, you know, 80 grand for the winning team, split four ways, pretty solid. I think we ended up getting half that, which is still, I mean, per person, that's great, but it's tough because we, you know, we're right there at the end, 18-18 in the Dream Breaker, and we didn't win. But still, to get to the final is awesome. I mean, I finished second overall among all players, men and women. So that was cool. The record, my individual record was good. You know, I went undefeated in men's doubles, which was great. But at the end of the day, you want to win as a team, and we did not. But either way, definitely excited for the future. We have another MLP event coming up August 3rd in Kansas City, so I think that's going to be cool. But this one's tough. Definitely stings. It also stings because there's a pretty long break. We've got 3 weeks to think about this one. I kind of wish there was another tournament this upcoming weekend so I could kind of just put it out of my mind and think about the next thing. But that's not the case. But and last thing about Major League Pickleball before we talk about what you guys actually want to hear, which is the coaching. We made a team change. We switched. We traded Elise Jones for Vivian. And I think that was, you know, super helpful for us. I mean, Vivian finished near the top of the individual standings. And she has a ton of potential. So I think, you know, on paper, I think a lot of people would say we might have the best team on paper. We finished second, but I think we could have won. And I'm super, super excited about the future because I think, you know, all four of us are still getting better. So definitely cool. Good stuff. And yeah, I think now it's time to talk about the coaching because I have a full week of clinics coming up. So I'm teaching at Lifetime in Penn Station in Manhattan tomorrow. Then I'm teaching at Montclair Pickleball on Wednesday, teaching again Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just all full days of teaching. I'm going from like, I think 10 a.m. to like 9 p.m. on average with like an hour break, 2 hours break in the middle. So I'm known to go for like 10 hours in a day when I teach. I go completely, you know, as hard as I possibly can. Doing that for 7 days straight coming up, it's going to be pretty tough, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. So that's what we got. And one of the questions actually that I definitely wanted to talk about for this one, because, you know, it's something that came up a lot at this past event. And by the way, guys, for those of you who came up to me and said you were subscribed to the newsletter, you watched the podcast, thank you very much. That's my favorite thing to hear. I had a couple people say, oh, James, I love your split step. I love your, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But the podcast and the newsletter, that's my favorite thing to hear. And lastly, last thing about myself too, I can sometimes not be the best at talking to fans at tournaments. It's just not a strength of mine. I tend to be in a rush at tournaments. I've got a lot of stuff to take care of. Obviously, super focused on the match itself. And then when I'm in between matches, I'm trying to kind of cover my routine as quickly as I can. You never really know when you're going to play a lot of the time. There's going to be, you know, you're just waiting for the next match to finish. So I'm in a rush a lot. And when people come up to me and ask me for pictures, I'm always going to say yes. But sometimes I'm kind of rushing and I'm like, okay, let's do it fast. So I feel bad because I you know, it's funny, like when somebody asks me for a picture or stops me in person, like anywhere outside of a tournament, it's like makes my day. It's the coolest thing ever. But when it happens at a tournament, sometimes I'm, you know, I'm a little bit too much in a rush, and I wish I could spend more time and be a little nicer. But if you're a newsletter subscriber, if you watch the podcast, tell me and you'll get special treatment every time. That's my favorite thing to hear. So anyway, a lot of players have been asking me about the hard drive through the middle. And it's funny because in Major League Pickleball this past weekend, there were some winners up the middle with the just, you know, near full power drive up the middle. And I actually think there is a place for that shot. I was usually somebody who taught generally that drive should be hit at like 70% pace. You know, super powerful drive can only take you so far. I think there's definitely advantages to hitting really hard drives, especially at the lower levels where players are not super comfortable with. I mean, for example, like if you crush a drive at a 3.5 or a 4.0, then it could be pretty beneficial. But you also don't want to be working on shots that aren't necessarily going to work at the 5.0 level. And I think that almost any 5.0 can handle a pretty hard drive. I mean, a drive is coming from the baseline and they're already established at the kitchen line. They have more than enough time to react to that drive. So that's what I generally teach at the higher levels. You want your drives to be dipping and you want them to be 70% pace. And if you watch the best pros, that is most of the time what they're doing. But I think there is a time for the right through the middle, maybe a little bit closer to the player that's on their way in, especially if that player who's on their way in is the right side player. I think there is a place for that just really aggressive drive right through the middle. I think if you can hit that ball a little closer to the person who's on their way in, it'll create confusion between the two, because generally when you're at the kitchen line, if your partner's returning from the baseline and you're up there, you're taught that if the drive goes through the middle, you should probably cover it because your partner's on the way in and they're coming from the baseline. So I think that is actually the right thing to do, obviously. But if you can get that one a couple feet closer to that person who's coming in, still, you know, it's going to look like it's in the middle. I mean, we're talking just another maybe foot away from the middle, closer to that person who's returning. I think that can be a very, very effective play, especially at the 4-5 level and below. Again, I've said this time and time again, middle confusion is 4-5 and below the most frequent mistake that happens, and yet it is also the least utilized of all weaknesses that you could possibly attack. I mean, I have taught so many clinics at this point. There are so many issues with the middle, especially in transition. I think that the middle is just, it couldn't be a better spot to place the ball, especially at the lower levels, because not only is there no risk of missing a ball wide if you aim it in the middle, I mean, if you aim it right in the middle, you can miss it 7 feet left or 7 feet right, and you're still going to make the shot, right? Because there's so much space to hit into, to your left, to your right. But if you can hit that ball right in the middle, I'd say, I mean, it looks like almost a quarter of the time, there's going to be a pretty high amount of confusion between both of those players. So I think that obviously on defense, you should be going through the middle, but I do think there is a place for an offensive shot through the middle, especially if it's a drive or if two players are in transition. And that actually brings me to my next point about shots in transition. So this keeps getting brought up to me, which is, you know, let's say two players are in transition and then you and your partner are at the kitchen line. So I'm up at the kitchen line with my partner. We're trying to hit volleys. We're trying to be aggressive. And you guys are in transition, maybe an inch, you know, inside the baseline or 4 feet inside the baseline. But you're working with your way up. You're on defense. Now, at these clinics, way too often do I see players peppering the ball at the player who is deeper, the player who is farther back. And it is actually taught. I saw this at, I'm not going to name the club, but I saw this being taught. And again, pickleball coaches, you know, there's some of them are still new. It's a new sport, not their fault, but it was being taught by someone there, some coach there, saying that when you're at the kitchen line and your opponents are in transition on their way back, always hit the ball to the player who is farther back. Always hit the ball to the player who is deeper. That's what was being taught, and I'm here to tell you that that is not the case. So there are some times where you want to hit it to the player who's deeper, but definitely not all the time. All right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them,
you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like four or five backpacks. They last so long too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk backpacks. I think the tour line ones especially are very good. They look cool. They look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the team line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one, because they're going to last you quite a while. And they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever, and it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So
I think that if you have a ball that you can really finish and hit it hard, you want to go to the player who is closer to you. So that means the player who is closer in transition or closer to the kitchen line. It should be a no-brainer, but I guess a lot of people don't really think about it that way. But for example, you know, why do you want to hit most of your speed ups down the line? Because the person's closer to you. They have less time to react. If you go across court, they have more space. Well, if there's two players in transition and you're hitting a finishing shot or even a shot that's, you know, near shoulder height where you feel like you should be, you know, you're definitely on offense at the very least, then you should be going to the player who's closer to you. There's no need to be afraid of that player if, let's say, there's somebody who's even 4 feet inside the, you know, base, or even, let's say, 4 feet away from the kitchen. They've come very close to you. Their partner's back there. Their partner's back at the baseline. Then, I mean, if you have a ball up here, their partner is doing the right thing. If they have hit a drop that is around this height and high and you are attacking that ball, they should not be coming in. And if one of them's back and one of them did come in, one of them's 3 or 4 feet, you know, away from the kitchen, they're trying to crash so to speak and get up there, you should punish them for doing so. You shouldn't let them off the hook by saying, okay, we're going to hit it back to your partner back there who's doing the right thing. No. If you have a higher ball or even a just slightly above neutral ball and there's two players that are in transition, go to the player who's closer to you almost every single time. Just rip it at them. Last reason for that is I think the toughest place to leave the ball, to get out of the ball, get out of the way of the ball that is going out, is actually in transition. You know, I mean, there are so many transitional shots that players are hitting. For example, for me, when I'm playing at these clinics, sometimes I'll mess around with 5-0s, and this happens. 5-0s are like, a lot of them at least are still figuring this part out too. When they're in transition, you can hit the ball pretty hard at them because they're not really thinking of leaving the ball in transition. When you're in transition, you're trying to move forward to the kitchen. All you're really thinking about is either moving forward or making your reset. And you can go pretty high and hard at their chest. Again, within reason, right? You don't want to make it so obvious that it's going out, but I'll just say this. Closer person to you, just attack them. If you have an attackable ball, don't go to the person who's so far from the baseline. Okay, so that brings us to our last. Actually, we're going to talk about this. So I want you guys to tell me in the comments. So we actually just came up with our first funny video. We tried to be funny. It was, you know, so I've got two people working for me with my newsletter and like coaching business. And we're doing, you know, like obviously this podcast is a part of that. So this is Selkirk podcast, but like it's coaching and we're doing the clinics and all this. So we decided to make a funny video. So it's on my Instagram. If you saw it, basically it's me teaching players to, you know, my friend Max, I'm teaching him that if you want acceleration on the backhand flick, you should treat it like a throw, right? So it was our idea, which is true. You know, you should feel like a Frisbee throw. So the point of the video is we go out there, I feed him a bunch of flicks, like backhand flicks. He's trying to treat it like a throw. He misses like all four of them. And then he says, okay. And then he just throws his paddle like into the lake. So let me know what you think. If you want more funny videos, I'm trying to get an idea. It performed pretty well. All the comments were nice, but also most of the comments were from my friends. So I'm not sure if they're like, you know, just trying to be nice to me. So if you guys want some more funny videos, tell me. And if you think I'm not funny, then tell me because it'll help me. I need to figure something out. I'm trying to kind of get my content under control and do, you know, it's all about whatever you guys want. I don't really, you know, I can do a bunch of different stuff. I'm a jack of all trades. And plus, most of the ideas aren't even coming from me. They're coming from Ryan Fu and Max Freeman, the guys working for me. So, all right. Last thing that we're going to talk about. And this is a little bit redundant, but I think it's something that we have to talk about. When you're hitting the drive, whether it's the backhand or the forehand, if you are driving the ball, you must be staying down with your legs. So in tennis, when you bend your knees and then you kind of bring your body into the ball, you might be coming up a little bit. Your legs might be this bent when you hit it, before you hit it, that is. And then when you hit it, they get a little straighter. In pickleball, that's not the case. In pickleball, I think the drive should actually feel closer to ping pong, where your legs are very low the entire time that you hit the shot. I think it's super important because any motion upward that your body is doing while you hit the shot, where do you think that's sending the ball? It's sending the ball up. And if you watch the best drivers of the ball in pickleball, you can be sure that when they are making contact with their ball, their knees are still bent. And I see this so often in clinics where players are bending their knees before they hit the drive, and they're thinking, wow, you know, I'm bending my knees before I hit this drive. I feel great. I'm using my legs. But by the time they make contact with the ball, they've already come up. So you know what that means. They just did a squat for no reason. And they didn't actually do anything. They just bent their knees, then came up, and then hit the ball. So if you bend your knees, keep them bent when you're making contact with the ball. That is, you know, shouldn't really have to be said, but it's a pretty common mistake. So remember, bend your knees, keep them bent when you're hitting the ball. So that means get low and stay low. Do not bend and then come up. Do not get taller while you're hitting a forehand or a backhand drive. Great example of this is Ben Johns. He's a pretty good player, one might say, and he is staying very low throughout the drive. I actually think that this is especially important on the backhand, because on the backhand, you're getting less topspin than on the forehand almost every time. On the backhand, you're more so coming through the ball. Generally, backhands are less topspin and more flat. Of course, people can get topspin on the backhand. You can, but there's more capability of topspin with the forehand than there is with the backhand. So with the backhand, I would say it's essentially important to just stay down, just drive through the ball and keep it low, because drives are not meant to be hit as hard as you can, which is something that I say all the time. Of course, there is I said this in the beginning of the podcast, there is a play for the middle drive to hit it pretty hard. But mainly, when you're hitting the drive, you want to just dip in. You want it to kind of bounce right in between the kitchen line and the baseline. What that means is you don't need to be using your whole body to pull up. You can definitely just be staying down, staying calm, and just focusing on the height of the ball. Focusing on the height of the ball being that high over the net. You know, like what I like to do is pretend like there's like a foot window between the net and where I can hit my drive. And I don't really worry about the power. I get some topspin, but I don't think about it too much. Mainly, I just focus on what's going on in my head when I hit a drive is just stay down and just keep it in that window. Keep it in that tight window. And it's a lot easier to do. I mean, if you're thinking about crushing the drive, hitting it as hard as you can or even close to it, it's not as easy to stay accurate. I think just focus on accuracy with the drive. Okay. And it's lastly also, that doesn't mean accuracy with every shot, because I teach people that on the serve, focus on power and depth. Aim for a big target. You know, you could aim on the serve, aim right in the middle of the left and right, like center box, and then maybe 2 or 3 feet inside the baseline. So just kind of deep in the middle of that box. And then, you know, you give yourself a lot of space. You miss it left or right by a good margin. It's still in. And then just crush it. Hit it with as much power as you can. So not on the drive, though. On the drive, it's just placement. So again, these are all just my own opinions. That's all. One other thing that we definitely want to talk about here is that I have a clinic at the Thunderdome in Fort Myers area. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be on Thursday, July 25th. So it's coming up pretty soon. So make sure to check that out. And I hope that Josh, we can get this podcast out before then, because that's going to be a super special clinic. Me and Jared Cohen are going to be at it again. That's going to be pretty exciting. Unfortunately, I think I have a couple other shout outs I was supposed to make. Oh, I'm tired. Tough loss this past weekend. That's all I got.